Back to you.
I'm done.
You're done? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
MMRP?
What?
No. You said you had it and you've been on a good roll. I've been checking my stuff off as you've been going through.
Just include what you got there. I know what more you're gonna add here.
Okay, so let me bring, I've got the MMRP here. So for clarifications, let me jump back to the top here. Starts on Exhibit B. 1, starts on 1-3, all right. So there is no issue with 3-1 from the supervisors, correct? On dust?
Correct.
Okay. I was okay with that one. Biological resources, MM 4.1. 4.2, 4.3, 4.4, 4.5, 6, and 7, based upon the discussion we have had with Mr. Allen and confirmed with CAL FIRE, there would be a MM 4.8, possibly 8 and 9, that prior to implementation of the fuel loads reduction plan, a biological survey will be done by proper individuals. Could be a licensed forester, CAL FIRE, Forest Service, run down the list of qualified individuals. 4-7 or 4-8 would be spotted owl, 4-9 would be bald eagle. Does that meet your Commissioner Hart?
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Veal?
Mm-hmm.
Are we clear on that, Ms. Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cultural resources, we did not have issues with from the supervisors, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Either of you? Geology and soils?
No issues.
No issue? Okay. Hazards? 8.1. So we are clear. We've had the discussion on it. Essentially, 8.1, 9.1, and this is it. Oh, wait. Okay, so here's a question. Why is it that we have MM91 in hazards, and then when we jump to hydrology and water quality, we also have a 9.1? Is that a error in, should it not have been included in hazards? Was that 9.1 simply copy and pasted twice, once in the wrong place? That was the first question I had.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Just to let you know that the environmental attorney does have their hand raised, Jennifer Buckman.
Oh, okay. Related to the MMRP? If so, go ahead.
She's been unmuted. Go ahead.
There she is.
Hold
is
on.
There a mic on?
No volume.
Battery 100%.
Okay, we can hear you
okay.
Now.
Fantastic. Regarding mitigation measure 9.1, the provision related to water rights was actually suggested by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And I believe you're correct, Planning Commissioner, that it was inadvertently included in the MMRP and should not be included in the MMRP for the reason that it's legally infeasible. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife asked to have this mitigation measure included in order to mitigate impacts associated with potential flooding of the ponds they thought that the California State Water Resources Control Board should make a finding as to their jurisdiction related to the water rights. However, as County Council has already explained, the water rights owned by the applicant are pre-1914 appropriative water rights as confirmed by the Scott River Decree. As such, the State Water Resources Control Board has no jurisdiction over them whatsoever, and it would be futile for us to go to the State Water Resources Control Board for the mitigation that CDFW requested. We therefore request that you make a finding that that portion of the mitigation measure that was suggested for 9.1 is legally infeasible and also would not provide additional mitigation of the hazard over and above what you're already recommending as part of the correct portions of the MMRP, which is another and separate basis for rejecting that mitigation measure that was proposed.
Okay, so council, don't mute, because I have a question for you. Would you agree with the statement that the Department of Water Resources is the agency responsible for construction of new dams?
Yes, the Division of Dam Safety at the State Department of Water Resources will determine whether or not it is a dam that is subject to the department's jurisdiction. So your mitigation covers the two cases that might apply here. If the pond is designed as subject to the jurisdiction of the Division of Dam Safety, then it has to meet all those applicable standards. If it is not, then it has to meet the standards as determined by the county in conjunction with engineering reports. So those are the two parts of this mitigation measure that are appropriately imposed.
You answered my question. Thank you. So, commissioners, so council, just to be clear, MM91 numbers 1 and 2, you concur with them being in the MMRP. It is number 3, which you are requesting be removed from the MMRP, as it is, it's mentioned in the staff report and in the discussion, but it is not a mitigation measure.
It was a suggested mitigation measure by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. It was included, because it had been mentioned, it was included in the partially recirculated draft EIR. However, you are able to make a finding as to whether or not that mitigation measure is feasible under CEQA, which means capable of being accomplished in a successful manner. And in so doing, you can take into account the fact that they are asking you to have the state board exercise jurisdiction that it does not have. So we believe that portion should be found to be infeasible, and it should not have been actually included in the partially recirculated draft EIR. And this is no fault of any of the current planning staff. As you all know, this project has been undergoing environmental review since 2011. We are 12 years into this. So the second partially recirculated draft EIR and the partially recircululated draft EIR both occurred several years back.
Okay, thank you. And then my final question, since we have you here, staff hasn't had an opportunity to respond, but that 9.1 that is listed under hazards, is it your opinion that it is also misplaced and it should just be the 9.1, or should there be a 9.2 under hydrology and water quality? That's what I'm trying to make sense. We have duplicate MM9.1s, and so should one of them be 8.2, or should we have a 9.1 and a 9.2?
Or a 10.1.
You know, I got to tell you, just in all honesty, I haven't been able to make complete sense yet of all the numbers, the numbering scheme for the mitigation measures because of the way that they were developed over many years. So I don't think that, what I would say is we don't object to those mitigation measures requiring the Division of SAM safety, Division of Dam Safety, or a separate engineer confirming the safety of the pond. The applicant does not object to those mitigation measures. And I don't think that we care if you want to put them in multiple places in the document, that's fine. Those are reasonable mitigation measures.
I assume that the numbers are tied to the chapters or sections, I should say, in the EIR from which they originate.
Okay.
The first 9.1 and the second 9.1 are not completely identical in terms of monitoring.
No, one is dealing with the dam as a hazard. The other is dealing with the pond in terms of hydrology, water quality. And so is it because the pond is discussed in section 9.1 of the EIR that the 9.1's carried over to the MMRP?
Well, I suspect it was, and I suspect it's a sort of cut and paste type situation.
All right. It made reading this a bit confusulating.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree now that you pointed it out. So I don't have the hydrology section in front of me. I'll assume it's either section 10 or section 11. I think if it is a typo, then it would make sense to make the numbering consistent.
Yeah, let's double check that to make sure that we are in agreement. So now I'll bounce back up to the 8.1. So we're clear and on the record. This mitigation measure clearly states that before any breaking of ground, should this go forward, of expansion, new buildings, improvements, etc., the emergency access road will be developed and traversable. Is that a truthful statement? Directed to staff?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, okay. We had our discussion on the road. Any further questions on 8.1? Okay.
I'm not completely clear, but 8.1, are you suggesting the monitoring activity trigger be modified?
The statement I made is this. MM81 says that prior to initiation of construction of structures for the proposed project, before any of that happens, the emergency access road, which we discussed with Mr. Lloyd and also with CAL FIRE, is that it will meet 4290 regs and be passable before that ground gets broken for those structures.
Okay.
Is how I read this, and I was asking Ms. Lang, and she confirmed with a yes. Okay. The 9.1 under hazards, we're gonna double check that as per request by the project proponent's attorney, Ms. Buckman. The request was that number 3 be removed. If I understood her request properly.
She's not even here.
Commissioner Hart, do you have a problem with that? I follow the reasoning and the logic. Okay, staff? So we are, as a commission, Mr. Veal, you're fine with that? Okay. So staff, number 3 of
under
the first 9.1 that's under hazard be removed.
Yep.
Okay. The second 9.1 under hydrology and water quality. Any issues? Commissioner Hart? Commissioner Veal? Good? Okay. Noise 12.1, 12.2, 12.3. Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Aye.
All right. So we are then at the point, staff, Ms. Lang, Mr. Dean, do you feel we have addressed the concerns and questions that we were tasked with by the supervisors?
With one exception.
Okay.
And I believe that could be a potential addition to OES's conversation.
Oh, thank you, I have an additional condition.
Could be under 8.1 perhaps.
Hazard? Yes.
Regarding the conversation was that should evacuation orders be put in place, that Kidder Creek would evacuate with a warning that came in?
Yes, and I had that down here as 8.2, that KCOC, upon OES recommendation, will evacuate when their zone reaches a warning. Mm-hmm. And that'd be it would be a condition, but also mitigation measure 8.2. Are we good with that? Okay, thank you for reminding me. I was about ready to go through my checklist, and thank you. Anything else that we did not?
The other thing that was brought up by the Board of Supervisors was addressing, and also OES Director Brian Cinnone, was having more additional transport vehicles on site once the 97 percentile burn index was hit. We wanted to address that.
So proposed language for this would be a condition. Would it also be mitigation measure that when environmental climate reaches 97th, or do we want to say 95th percentile as a precursor? I wish Shinoni were here. Perhaps one of the gentlemen from CAL FIRE could help. Would it be wise or recommended at the 95th or 90th percentile that transportation be on hand, or is it okay to wait until you hit the 97th percentile?
This is from Mr. Shinoni.
Okay, so this says off-site is not right. So we'll have adequate transportation on-site to transport all staff and campers during an evacuation period. It does not depend upon the percentile for the incident.
I believe he mentioned the 97 percentile there from what I was reading.
What he said is that off-site is not adequate for 97th percentile.
So interpret that on-site would be at required for 97th.
For all, yes. That's what I'm looking for clarification. At what point?
Yeah, I think he suggested the memorandum of understanding be created.
So that would be the condition and the mitigation.
Within that.
Question is answered by Mr. Shinoni via an email. Okay. All right. So do you need the language for that? Or shall we just use Mr. Shinoni? The condition and mitigation measure will simply state that an MOU will be entered into that requires evacuation when zone is under warning, and KCOC will have adequate on-site transportation to transport all staff and campers during an evacuation, as recommended by OES.
You have that condition is specific to hitting the 97th percentile for the fire index. As long as it's specific to that 90 percentile being hit.
Okay. Are you fine with that?
Yep.
Commissioner Veal?
Yep.
Okay. Any other items that you feel we did not
hit
to the supervisor? Okay. Any other items from either commissioner. Let me run down my list one more time.
Through the chair?
Yes.
There was also mitigation number 4.7 that had some conversation that Pickery Forestry Camp would like to have clarified.
The buffer?
Yes, the buffer. And specifically, you know, it says 150 feet from the edge of a bank, but it doesn't define what bank.
So under past projects, language from CDFW that we have received, their buffers have clearly stated from the edge of the active channel. We have had projects on or near Shasta, Klamath, Scott, Patterson Creek, the one downriver, not the one that we're closer to here, where they're talking about buffers, but it's from the active channel. Anybody from CDFW here present? Surprising. I would say if KCOC is looking for the clarification, per every 1600 agreement that I have ever been involved with, per every state and federal safe harbor that I've been associated with, it has been from the active channel.
That's great. Can we put that in writing instead of what they're saying? The other part
would you can concur?
You want to get into the question. It's not just the bank, it's also the edge of the floodplain, it says. And we had a CEQA specialist said they've never seen a setback from the floodplain. And if you're talking about the FEMA floodplain, we're not in the FEMA floodplain. So what is the setback they're wanting from a floodplain for? And I understand about the repair and drip line, that's fine.
That's the one I actually have a problem with. If the other two commissioners are agreeable with this, I would simply recommend we change that to a no disturbance buffer of 150 feet from the active channel of Kidder Creek, period. Okay, these two are agreeable with that.
And again, make a note there, fish and game.
Weren't here and didn't participate.
Come in and put down an exact definition
right
of what it should be.
Okay, gentlemen.
So is that to understand that the remainder of the mitigation discussion as far as the rectory and drift line?
That is the recommendation from the Planning Commission. Per the three that are sitting here today, we will follow what they have used as language on all past projects of a variety of nature.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't preclude them from making it more definitive.
Right.
Sorry, for further clarification, project shall result in no net loss of riparian habitat. Mm-hmm. But that's stricken also.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Other items?
Okay. I think we've beat this to death.
I think we have.
Mm-hmm.
I would entertain. I would entertain an action, one way or the other, as the cow would say.
Public
She said there was a public hearing on the agenda, but that's related to other items.
What is it?
We had other items on the agenda, too.
Pardon?
She said that there's a public hearing listed on the agenda, but that relates to the other items, too, that we had on the agenda. Is this just part of the agenda in general?
I'm looking here.
Well, I guess I did list it under this project, but it's because I copy and paste.
Oh, you're copy and pasting of it? Yeah, we had closed the public hearing at the January meeting. And that's what I mentioned at the very beginning and one other time. We were at the point where we requested staff to bring in Natural Resources, CAL FIRE, Public Works, and for us.
That's not how your meeting notes read.
It's how the minutes read.
I didn't hear what she said.
Counsel?
The motion was to just to continue, a continuation of the. It was not directed at staff, it was a continuation of the discussion.
We closed the public hearing. I get what you're saying. It was noted in the agenda. So counsel, I will defer to you. Because that's what we talked about before. I was making sure we closed the public hearing at the last meeting, continued it to bring in expert testimony who were absent last month.
Right. That was my recollection. The public hearing was closed. You can at your discretion if you wish to let her comment before you make your motion. Sometimes discretion is the better.
Okay. Feeling of the commission?
It's fine if you.
Fine. Commissioner Hart? Okay. So I have two on here.
This is another one.
Oh, three. Okay, I have three on here. So, Sharna, let's go ahead and come forward, and we'll give it 3 minutes.
Well,
and
also there was two that wanted them read, Ann Marsh and Trevor.
We noted that they were going to be part of the record.
Okay.
I did that at the beginning of this. So, Sharna, yes, go ahead and come forward, and we'll go Sharna, and then we'll go Dee Jones, and then we'll go Betsy Stapleton.
And I'll set my phone as a timer.
Through the chair, and just to let you know that there is a caller online that's raised their hand as well.
Okay, so we have four.
I have my phone set as a timer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you have it already set up?
Yes.
Well, then you go ahead and do it, because then it can be seen.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you for entertaining the public comment. I'm going to just give you a few minutes to start. I've got 3 minutes. I don't have too much to say. I've just provided some additional information that I think is under your purview. I appreciate Commissioner's discussion about the water rights, but I'd like to just add a couple clarifications. The groundwater well that you guys were talking about earlier about being domestic, I'd just like to read the state code. Domestic well means a groundwater well used to supply water for a domestic need for individual residents or a surface well that is not a public water system and that has no more uses or no more than four connections. By definition, a public water system, which is what they are registered currently as, is for surface or connections no more than 15 and that do not have at least a minimum of 20 or no more than 25 people and no longer than 60 days. Their current well is registered as a public. It is not registered as a domestic well, so I'd just like to make that clear. It's important as far as the environmental study, and this does relate to the surface water. The entire EIR was predicated on the fact that, and I'll just read this to you if you'd like me to, when looking at the impacts of the domestic well on the groundwater supply, it is important to understand how a domestic use is different from other water uses within the aquifer. Again, this is not a domestic well. For KCOC, the per capita water use is 45 gallons per day. This is the most important part of the statement here. This is most importantly because all outdoor water use is accomplished by the surface water from Barker's ditch. Okay? You want me to reread that? It's in the ER. So the county does have a jurisdiction and a fiduciary responsibility, in my opinion, to verify that the EIR actually is substantiated and minimizing the 45 gallons, because all other water use for the 580 acres is going to be coming from their 37-acre water right that is minimal in amount and diminishes over time with flow. So again, I just ask that consideration and full reconciliation of the water right as it relates to their groundwater study plan that you are asked to being and have a fiduciary duty to approve is taken into account. Thank you.
Thank you. Dee Jones.
I have nothing to add today.
Okay. Betsy Stapleton.
Betsy Stapleton, I'm a resident of Scott Valley, and I appreciate this opportunity to speak. It may appear that I'm coming to the party late, but in actuality, there was reference to this going on since 2011, and I've seen comments from Kidder Camp staff and from their professional consultants sort of lamenting that, but I will point out, as a citizen, having to address these issues over a sustained period of time, it's even more of a burden, not receiving any compensation. So I apologize for not having devoted myself to this consistently over time and appearing at what might appear to be the last minute. And I understand that you're addressing very tight technical issues, so I'm going to make that overarching comment. And the other overarching comment, that the Scott Valley Area Plan is very clear in its intention to limit large-scale development to areas of existing development, and this clearly lies outside of that. And so I wish you to honor that. Now, more specifically, the question of, is this a commercial recreation opportunity? And I will point out to Kidder Camp's own history of opening their campus for public events and widely advertising them. As an example, their fall festival, which does not require membership or anything else, it's a community service, and I understand their intention, but this is clearly not a closed campus only for the use of members. Their intention is to grow a commercial enterprise. And in speaking to people who are living next door to Mount Hermon Camp, their parent corporation, the reports from those neighbors is that it's really a commercial recreational opportunity. They rent out their ropes course, they have commercial events, they have weddings, they have associations that use the facilities. And so I do not believe that this meets the criteria of being a private recreational enterprise, and that it needs to be viewed in the context of major commercial development in our valley that is in contradiction to the intent of the Scott Valley Area Plan. And those of us residents who have been addressing this over the since 2011, as mentioned, that this was opened up. And the other point, last point I will make, is that this will be precedent setting for the other enterprises that are attempting to do the same in Scott Valley. And I live right below one. So yes, it is my backyard, and I'm speaking to that issue. And we cannot ignore that this will open up the door to multiple efforts, whether or not they're couched in being a nonprofit organization, to have large-scale commercial enterprises in an agricultural and rural setting. And I'm fundamentally opposed to that. And I thank you for your attention.
Thank you. And said we had one raising hand.
Yes,
so
we do.
They have 3 minutes.
You may go ahead and speak, and please state your name.
Battery 100%.
California.
I'm sorry.
First of all,
excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am. May I interrupt for just a moment? I apologize. Can you please restate your name? Once again, we didn't have the volume correctly operating.
Okay, do I still get my 3 minutes?
Yes, I haven't started you, Ann.
Oh, okay, thank you. My name is Ann Marsh, Ann with an E, 4628 Pine Cone Drive, Etna, California. And I'd first like to address a couple of remarks made by Commissioner Hart. And one of them was that he was thinking that there was no concern with traffic, but just noise. The major concern on that road is traffic. It's a huge concern. It already is. And if we get the population of the size of a city in Scott Valley added up there, it's going to be a triple major concern. The other thing he said was that if all the check boxes on, I think it's Addendum G or something like that, if all the environmental check boxes are taken care of, then that's just fine with any commission. Well, that just can't be true because the facts that are stated have to be factual, and in some cases they just blatantly are not. Many times they have been refuted, and even the county has agreed that they have not been stated correctly. The other thing is, as Betsy Stapleton brought up, the Scott Valley Area Plan. We're not looking at just the zoning requirements by the county, but we're looking at the general plan Scott Valley Area requirements. And this project is blatantly not viable to be put in under the Scott Valley Area Plan because of its density and intensity. If we got the population down to like something like maybe 450, maybe 400, I'd say, you know, maybe I wouldn't have a problem with that. But until that happens, I certainly have a problem with the population the size of a city in this beautiful valley being put up there at the end of a dead-end road and affecting all the people on that road and all the people on the other side of the creek, which is off North Kidder Creek Road. So I sent in a letter. I hope it was read. I asked it to be read into public comment. It was not, because apparently somebody decided that we have no more input, and that is one of my problems with the county, allowing proponents to go on and on and on, and not allowing us, who are opposed to these projects, to make even minimal comments that are put into the minute records. Now, the county council told me that, oh, well, it'll be heard if there is a proceeding. Well, whether or not there is a proceeding, people look at the minutes beyond a proceeding and tend to believe what's in them, and what's in them should be factual.
I'm sorry, your time has been up. Would you like to continue, council?
Thank you.
I'm done.
Fell.
Yes.
I would like to correct Ms. Marsh. I did say there was a traffic issue on Kidder Creek Road. That's why I specifically asked for a traffic study to be done and to be incorporated in the conditions of the use permit. As far as the CEQA checklist, if we fully mitigate for all those items, whether they be high, medium, or low, if there is something there that we cannot mitigate for, doesn't give me good conscience to say no to a project. If I'm saying no to it, then that's a political decision in my view. I'm not tasked with a political view or a political vote. That belongs to the supervisors.
Okay.
Okay.
So what would be the will of the commission?
I'm going to send it back to them.
Ready to send it back?
Send it back.
Are you going to make a motion?
I don't see anything that we've missed. I'll make a motion. I move that we adopt a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, further mitigation measures and a mitigation monitoring and reporting program for the Kittikuk Orchard Camp zone change ZJOS 14-01, and a use permit UP 11-15.
And to answer what I think your question is, this motion is to send what we have done back to the supervisors.
And my reservations about my first vote on it would be confined to what?
Would you like to second it, or do you want me to second it?
I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second.
I have one question.
And now we have an opportunity for discussion. And Commissioner Veal has the floor, and then I'll come back to you, Commissioner Harper.
Yeah. As I look back on this, the reason I voted for it before is the reason I believe in the mission so much. In fact, to the point my one of our granddaughters to go to. But as more I get into this, I see the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp being very well respected in the community. Not just by the people that have attended there, which I know people have, but by the neighbors that have all expressed their appreciation for it. But when you go from 128, I think it is now, is that what the limit currently is on the...
Yeah. 310.
310. If you go to 310 or 622, you're going to lose that appreciation that you have in the valley. And I think not only the people that send people at the community, but the employee. That gentleman back there with the hat on, you live on that road. You work at that camp. And you... It is my feeling, sincere feeling, when that goes from 320 to 622, you're not going to like it. So that's my reason for proposing it. You can take the risk of a fire danger up there, and we have no control over that. Only thing we can do is a controlled exposure. And I think if you're driving down Highway 3, that was a vacant parcel of land, you wouldn't look up and say, there's a place to put 622 people. Not in these conditions. Mm-hmm. So, with that, that's my concern. So, and I did vote to send it.
Commissioner Hart?
So my question to staff, a direct question from Ms. Gilmore about the use of that well. It's a domestic well. She's making the allegation and claim that only a certain number of people can be allowed to use that, and this is not a public well.
Yeah, I'll address that. And to the point, what she mentioned is partially true. So it is a public water system. It is regulated by the state of California. The parameters that she stated was a small water system with 15 connections or 25 folks. That is a different category than what Kidder Creek is in. That is a state small system that we regulate locally. They're smaller, 15 connections or less. The facility out there is a public water system regulated by the state of California that exceeds 15 connections. Right, so it's in their jurisdiction, not our local jurisdiction. Kind of bridge the gap there between the two domestic versus public water system. It is a public water system because it serves multiple connections. However, the overall use for that is primarily for domestic purposes. So it's a matter of complete definitions, but essentially the use is for the domestic purposes.
Right, so the first one is a public system, the one that's existing.
Yes, in place right now.
And so we drill the second one. That will then become a public system too, tied into the other one.
It would just be another component of the existing public water system.
Okay.
It will supplement the existing public water system.
Correct.
Last question about zoning. That seems to be the big flashpoint here. Where we have a lot of people in the audience that say that under the Scott Valley Area Plan, this recreational activity is not allowed on that property. Yet, staff and legal have analyzed under the Scott Valley Area Plan that it does fit into that category.
Have them read it. Show us where it's at.
So, within the Scott Valley Area Plan, obviously there are a number of policies, right, related to certain districts and designation. Non-resource area, excessive slope, are the two main ones within the Care Creek property. It does mention promoting recreational uses, small-scale commercial, and some other allowable uses, but one issue with the plan is none of these terms are defined. So usually, like our county code, we define what is a private recreational facility, right? There's a definition for that. Our general plan and the Scott Valley Area Plan does not directly call out any definitions, right? So when it speaks to recreational uses, there's no definition for that in the Scott Valley Area Plan. So it is highly subjective on how it is being defined.
That then, if it's highly subjective, then that's a political call, for in my book. That's not written in the Scott Valley Area Plan. It's not defined in black and white in writing exactly what it is under the county zoning codes that we have. It fits that zoning. So to me, their argument, I'm not putting that argument down. That argument needs to go to the supervisors, not to us. Mm-hmm. That's a political call.
Yes.
I don't know what to do with it.
No, because I've evaluated, I go back to when I first came on here, we are quasi-judicial, and we look at black and white. Is what is before us within our purview legal? Mm-hmm. We deal with yes it is or no it's not. If it isn't, we have to come up with findings to justify the decision. And we have done that. The point that this is at now, I don't disagree with you. I think the feeling of the camp will not necessarily be positive if it gets bigger. But what we are able to control, that's a political...
Yeah, right.
That, the individuals who are elected and get paid get to make that decision.
Yeah.
It has met the legal requirements, what we can oversee.
Yeah. And I disagree with that. Remember, everything we did with the bottling plant in Mount Shasta, I guess is illegal, right? Go ahead.
There are many projects that have come before my tenure here. What are we doing? But
yeah, all I'm saying is that can change.
Yeah.
What we think is legal. And maybe it wasn't illegal, maybe it was just...
We have what's in place.
We have what's in place.
So, moved, seconded.
Through the chair, I didn't hear any second.
I did. Commissioner Veal seconded.
Okay, sorry.
All in favor, signify.
I just wanted to make certain that with the recommended motion that the additions to the mitigation as you report are included.
And additional conditions. Yes. Okay, so roll call.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
I wanted to show you that this does not reflect my vote, my opinion of the project.
You what? Say that again.
And I'm not going to tell you what my opinion of the project is.
No.
Okay, so it has passed and is headed back to the supervisors. Again, future meeting, March 15th. Correspondence?
None.
Staff comments?
None.
Commission comments?
None.
Return.